Okay, you have your Bibles tonight?
Amen.
Okay, four of you do. Great. Okay. The rest of you can take notes. All right, Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. We're looking at the sixth seal. We should finish that up today and get into the seventh seal. Verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, when it talks about evil spirits coming out of the mouth, It reminds me of what took place in the Garden of Eden, where you have the serpent, and out of his mouth came very deceptive and lying thoughts. Were they separate spirits? We don't know. But one thing that we do know is that these three entities, the dragon, the devil, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, out of each one of these three come evil spirits. And these evil spirits are deceptive. We're going to get to that in a minute because the deception has already begun. But I do want you to see that no matter how hard the devil tries, God's always able to turn things around. And it's going to smack the devil in his face. The devil may think he's getting by with something, may think that he's winning the battle, but he's not. So we have the earth already filled with demons, now having more. We have an area in Scripture that talks about these evil spirits coming out of the earth during the tribulation. And of course, even now they can come out. Let me just give you a background. This is not where they want to be. The center of the earth is not where demons want to be. It's a place of punishment. And when the devil rebelled against God, this is before Adam and Eve even came into existence, the devil had a war, and he fought against the Lord. And the devil was cast down to the earth with his angels, and they were placed in hold in the center of the earth. You can read the book of Jude for additional details. But they were chained in the center of the earth. Now, they had physical bodies. Angels have physical bodies. And the difference between a human being and, let's say, an angel is that angels have been given certain abilities that man doesn't have. We just can't dematerialize. We just can't go invisible. And yet, the devil can. Angels can. You have angels appearing in the Bible multitudes of times where suddenly they appear. Seems like out of nowhere, but they were there. And they just manifest themselves physically. Now, what we have coming out now are increasing numbers of demons out of the center of the earth who left their bodies there so that their spirits can walk on the face of the earth. And, you know, when you read the Gospels, you look how many times you come across Jesus casting out what? Evil spirits, all different types. But Jesus cast them out. Just because they're cast out, where do they go? Do they go back to the center of the earth? No. The Lord could have sent them there. As a matter of fact, there were some that complained to the Lord when they were ready to be cast out. And they said to the Lord, did you come to torment us before the time? And the idea there is they know that they can be sent back to the place of torment. But like I said, read the book of Jude and you'll understand this better. So when it talks about spirits, it's talking about fallen angels whose bodies are in the center of the earth right now. And when they depart from those bodies, they come to the earth and they look for another body they can get into. And this is why you see so many coming into the Man of Gadara that they called Legion. This is why after they were cast out there, they wanted to go into another body, didn't they? They wanted to go into the pigs. And this is why throughout Scripture you find these fallen angels, the devil's angels, wanting to inhabit a physical body because they miss their own body and they can't do as much simply as spirits. Now, just one heads up. We've mentioned this before. The devil is waging war against the church, against God's people. And in the last days, the Bible says because he knows the time, he knows that his time is short. And so he's pulling out all the stops. He's focusing attention on what he thinks will be most effective. And one of the things that would be most effective is if he could destroy a Christian's testimony. That's going to affect an awful lot of people. And so he focuses his demons to people who have good testimonies. You know, a person goes to a liberal church and accepts anything, and they have a Quran in the back of the pews, and they talk about golf stories, and that's about it, and they neglect the Lord. The devil doesn't have much to win there. He's already won. So what is he going to do? He's going to take the number of demons that he had and spread out in so many areas. He's going to focus the attention more into an area to attack Christians and ruin their testimonies. This is one of the reasons why you have to be very careful when you talk about somebody not to injure their Christian testimony. Don't judge them and say, well, I heard that so-and-so did this. I heard that so-and-so said that. Don't do that. Because that is exactly what the devil wants done. And if you end up doing that, it may be that an evil spirit influenced you. And if it can influence you once, it can do it again. So be very, very careful about that. Now, there are still demons that are chained in hell right now. They're still there. And we read here that the demons are going to come out now, that the devil had control over these demons because they chose to follow him. So they're going to be obedient to him. And they chose to come out of the mouth of the beast, the devil himself, and the false prophet. Now, I mentioned earlier that our God, being almighty and with his unlimited power, he's able to turn what the devil meant for bad and turn it to accomplish his purposes. And he does that today. He's certainly going to do it during the tribulation. But I want you to see a couple of scriptures dealing with this. The first one is in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. There's a prophet by the name of Micaiah who was faithful to the Lord. There were a lot of other prophets, but they were false. And, you know, they gave people what people wanted to hear. These false prophets said, oh, things are going to get so much better. Everything's going to go right. This is going to be wonderful. And, well, that wasn't true. Micaiah told the truth. And so, in verse 18, again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven, standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit. Now notice this. Here are spirits who are speaking, not just creating a feeling, but speaking what they plan to do or what they would like to do. There came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, Thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. And this evil spirit was able to entice Ahab to go down into battle and receive a wound, a deadly wound. That's how he died. And God said, This is what I want you to do. Let's go over to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. Verse 6. Now therefore there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now I want you to notice something here. First of all, Satan is trying to aggravate the Lord. When the Lord sent the devil and his angels to the earth, to the center of the earth, he put them all in chains, didn't he? According to the book of Job, Jude. Put them all in chains. What did Satan say he was doing? Walking to and fro the whole earth. That was a slap in the face of God by saying, See, you can't keep me in chains. See, I'm going to do what I want to do. So that's number one. Number two is that he observed Job. By the way, in the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 12 that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He still walks to and fro the whole earth. And he's looking for people that he can devour. And then he accuses them of not loving the Lord. He accuses them of not being yielded to the Holy Spirit. And of course, the scriptures make it very plain that Jesus defends us and protects us. Well, Satan is saying, Look, I'm out free and I can observe things. And the Lord says, Did you observe my servant Job? And The devil then sets up a thing where Job would be condemned, where Job would be pressured to sin. And his accusation basically is this. Does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, the only reason Job fears you is because of what you give to him. And so Job's a materialist. He wants stuff. You keep giving him stuff, sure he's going to fear you. Sure he's going to obey you. But his love for you is based upon what you give to him. A lot of people think like that. And the devil expected that. But But it wasn't the case with Job, was it? Job was a righteous man that loved the Lord for the right reasons. Now, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7 talks about the beginning of this project of the devil that would be carried from one generation to the other with the idea of deceiving people, making them believe that somebody who really wasn't close to God is close to God, making people believe that anybody who prophesies and says, I had a vision, God gave me this, God gave me that. The devil wants us to believe everybody who says that because they say it in the name of the Lord. This is the beginning, the mystery of iniquity. And we'll take a look at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or alloweth will continue to allow until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that evil, and the Greek says evil one, the wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. I think Jesus mentioned one time that the devil is the father of lies. And so we see him actively involved in what he knows he can do very well. Then in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Who is he just talking about that was lying? The devil. The devil. And so the Lord says, all right, I'm going to send a deception that comes from the devil. People will worship the Antichrist as if he was God. People will believe the false prophet as if he was really close to the Lord. This is what is coming up. And you can see, and it is so easy to understand how this works today. I don't think people years ago could comprehend it like we can today. And especially after all the stuff that's been going on over the past few years. Years ago, there wasn't a news media. And today, who really controls the way people think? It's the news media. Whatever they say, there are people who say, it must be true, it was on TV. Or I just read it on the internet, it must be true. And so, many times, the devil lies. It has gotten increasingly deceptive over the past few years. They're getting very good at what they started out doing. The news media has always been under control of somebody. The news media, you know, when I was growing up, and I delivered newspapers when I was a kid, I'd look at those newspapers and say, well, that must be true because it's in the paper. And way back then, it probably was true. But the whole philosophy of news today has changed. It's no longer news. It's propaganda. It is designed to make people think the way they want you to think. And so we look at this today, we can understand what is going to happen in the tribulation, why so many people are going to say to the false prophet, oh, you're of God. Well, he's not of God at all. But they're going to believe that he is. Why? Because the media says so. And the Antichrist, listen, the Antichrist hardly has to do anything. The media is going to elevate him and make people believe that he really is God in flesh. They're going to report stories. They're going to say, ah, we just found a book. And, of course, experts are going to bring this out. We found a book that is 2,000 years old that describes the coming of Christ. And the Antichrist has all the same characteristics of the person that is in this book. They're going to come up with false scriptures. They're going to come up with all sorts of stuff. And the media, because people have become addicted to it, they're going to believe everything that the media says. Right now, they're trying to put down Jesus. There have been more blasphemous reports by so-called experts this year than I've ever seen. And it's going to get worse. But the reality is, God is setting people up. If they want to believe something strongly enough, they'll eat this up. They'll say, wow, yeah, that's what I thought. Jesus was a fraud. That's what I thought. You know, the Antichrist, this man, he is so good and he's so honest and he really is going to help the people. He's going to bring peace to the universe. This is what they're going to proclaim. And people who are gullible, programmed to believe whatever the media says, then that's the way it's going to go. And I'll give you a case in point. And some of you already know this. You already saw it on the news. Dr. Fauci keeps changing his position. Now, somebody caught him on that. And they asked him why. Well, let me ask you this first. How many of you have heard about herd immunity? Okay? Now, he said at first that if we can get 50% of the people to either get the COVID virus or the vaccine, then all the rest are going to be protected. All right, that's what he started out with. And this news commentator, who probably doesn't have a job now, said, well, wait a second. Do you really believe that only 50%? And he says, well, it could be 80 or 90%. If they come down with the COVID or 80 or 90% get the vaccine, then all the rest are going to be protected. And he cornered them, cornered Dr. Fauci and said, wait a second, you're changing the statistics. And he said, why are you doing this? And he said, because the people wouldn't be able to handle the truth. The people wouldn't be able to handle the truth. So he changes his story based upon what he perceives people will accept. He's not the only one. There are many people who deliberately get online, they get on news, and they deliberately deceive. And people are so naive today, they say, well, it was in the news, so it must be true. No, 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 no. There are people who have learned how to deceive. There are people who, some of whom are demon-possessed, some of whom are demon-oppressed and greatly influenced by devils, who get information into the hands of the people, and the people just eat it up. They eat it up. Now, here we have strong delusion. Who sends them strong delusion? God. That's what it says. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. When God gathered the demons together in that second Chronicles passage. Do you remember that God was the one that gave authority to that demon and said, go out and deceive him. Go out and deceive him. This is a side of truth that a lot of people have a hard time with, because they can't picture God allowing a demon to accomplish his purpose. But he gives people free will. When a person is tempted to do wrong, and let's say it's a very strong temptation, let's say that the person has a weakness toward alcoholism or drugs, and he's confronted by people all around him who want him to either drink or take drugs. And the devil comes along and he says, look, it's not going to hurt you. You're still alive. You used to take them. You used to drink. So it's not going to hurt you. And the devil is there tempting the person. God gives a human being power over all the power of the enemy. And that means that we can say, no, no, get thee behind me, Satan. We have the ability to cast off temptation. We have the ability, and especially as Christians, in the name of Jesus, to command demons to leave. And this is an important fact for now. When the demonic activity is increasing, you need to know that you can have power over any bad temptation. I mean, if all the demons in the world came against you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so you have that power, that authority, to send them away. And they have to obey. Now, we see that there are pretty much helpless people in the tribulation. There are people there, all of them, who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. All of them are empty. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so here these people are, the most vulnerable people ever on the earth. And the devil comes along and he deceives them. God said, okay, this is what I want you to do. And you know what? They don't object to it. They go along with the lie. They go along with the lie. Now, this is what's going to take place in this sixth vial that is cast out into the earth. And that vial not only includes the drying up of the Euphrates River so that the armies can march toward Megiddo or Armageddon, but also it is this demonic activity that explodes on the earth. And there are people who just don't have any defense to it. There's no defense. Now, as Christians, we not only have defense, we have offense. You read Ephesians chapter 6, and the Bible tells us that if we put on the whole armor of God, the devil isn't going to be able to get to us. And it mentions something that is an offensive thing, not defensive. It's called a sword. And God gave us a sword so that we can get at the devil. So, you know, we as believers in the last days are not going to be easily overcome. But we have to make decisions, the right kind of decisions. We have to determine, what am I going to listen to? Who am I going to listen to? Is it the truth? How do I know it's the truth? We have to ask ourselves just good, common sense questions. And from that point, we commit every decision to the Lord. And we can win. We can win. It's just when you get into the tribulation after we're taken out of the way, Matter of fact, that 2 Thessalonians passage, if you read it again, you come across a phrase where it says, he that letteth or he that alloweth will continue to allow until he be taken out of the way. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's ministry is going to be pulled back. We're already seeing it. We're already seeing it. But it's going to intensify to the point where there aren't going to be people who have the Holy Spirit in them, period. They're gone. 144,000 is gone. The remnant is hiding in a place called Selah. And, you know, there is no great battle anymore. If the devil wants something, he can get it. He wins. Because everybody has determined we're going to believe whatever he says. Because there isn't anything else. Or at least that's what they're going to say. Jesus says in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now this is a reminder to us. We don't want to be in the tribulation. We don't want to be here on this earth during this time period. God doesn't want us here then. We're supposed to be a part of the bride with the Lord in heaven. He doesn't want us down here then. And so he says he comes as a thief. Be prepared. Be ready. And, you know, this is something that a lot of... Matter of fact, I was reading something right before I came out where somebody in the general area here had been robbed and some people broke in. And they're still trying to figure out how they did it because no doors were broken down, no windows were broken. But they broke in, they stole some stuff, and they did it when the people were out of town. They weren't watching. And they did it at a time where they knew that their dogs were in a kennel. And so they took advantage of what they knew and came against them. Now, we know what we need to know about the future. We know enough that we should be preparing our lives so that, you know, when Jesus comes, we're ready. We're ready. We're not going to say, well, Lord, I got to pack my bags. We're not going to be able to say, Lord, give me a few minutes to get right with you first. Now, we need to be prepared because we know that the time is drawing near. Now, let's get into the seventh seal. In verse 17, it says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Hold it. Jesus said that the tribulation be the worst time in history since there was a man on the earth. Now, we're having a little more insight. He says there's going to be an earthquake, such as was never since there was a man on the earth. Well, I want to take you back to the time of Noah. At that time, there was one continent. The Bible tells us when God created the heavens and the earth that there was one landmass. All the rest was water. Now, we know that we have several continents today. How is it that they became other continents? Well, very simply, they had to break apart. But to break apart requires tremendous amounts of friction. It requires earthquakes. It requires volcanoes. And all this is going to take place under the seventh vial. The earth right now, and they're discovering more and more things about the crust of the earth. The earth right now is in a very precarious situation. There are oceans that they just announced. We've discovered this huge ocean under West Africa. They thought that it was just dry land all the way through, all till you get to the core. But it's not. They found this huge ocean over there. And then reports are coming in every few days about volcanoes getting active. There was one guy who has been studying the western U.S. volcanoes for over 40 years. And he has all the statistics at his fingertips and so on. And he just announced this week, he says, we could be ready to see the greatest volcanic action in the history of mankind. Because he's been testing the magma. This is that liquid that's underneath these volcanoes. He's been testing the flow of this. And he's seeing these huge reservoirs of magma, the lava that's going to come out. And he's seeing them increase dramatically. Yellowstone National Park is recording record levels of where the areas around the volcanoes are rising every single year. Why? Because the magma underneath is increasing, getting bigger and bigger. So what's going to happen? The Bible says one of the signs of the Lord's return, you can read about this in Matthew 24, Luke 13, anywhere the Olivet Discourse is mentioned, that in diverse places there would be earthquakes. More than normal, more than usual. And these earthquakes are because different plates rub against each other. They're moving and causes friction. And that magma builds up, and there are underground lakes that contain this, and those lakes have distribution points to the volcanoes. So this is going on right now. Right now. In the western part of this country. It's not a good thing if we're going to be here for it. But there's nothing in Scripture that says that we're going to avoid all the pre-tribulation calamities that are going to take place. To the contrary, the Olivet Discourse indicates we're going to see them. We're going to see them. So what's going to happen next? How soon are these things going to blow? We have a lot of earthquakes going on, serious earthquakes, where these plates are moving. A lot of people believe that the United States, or the North American continent, was really not a continent during the time prior to Noah. Wasn't even there. But when the flood came, this one landmass, this is during the time of Noah, this one landmass broke up into pieces and separated from one landmass. That's how we have the continents that we do now. And this has been verified. I mean, this is something that we've been teaching for many years, but it's only been recently that geologists have proven this for themselves. What they found is that let me ask you this first so you can understand where I'm coming from. How many of you have been on an interstate near a mountain where they had to shear the mountain and you see all the levels of rock that's there? Okay. They did this by machine or explosives. And what they did is to take all the levels of strata in the United States and they compared it with levels of strata elsewhere. They've taken the levels that are in South America and they have compared them to levels in Southern Africa. And what they found is they're the same. They're the same. And what has happened is that under the flood of Noah, they were broken apart. But the strata remains the same. Is God able to do it again? There may be some continents that will be judged so severely, they won't even exist when Jesus comes back. I'll give you another biblical example. And I think it was Jeremiah that talked about this. The trees of the Garden of Eden, where are they? The Bible tells us that they were plunged to the center of the earth. They didn't just move. They didn't get a bunch of weeds and then die. They were plunged to the center of the earth. So God is able to manipulate all the geographical forces that are there and make them work for His glory. In the center, and I mentioned this before, but you know, some of you may have missed it, in the center of the Atlantic Ocean, there is a rise. And what they have found is that at one time, that was above water, because they found buildings with pillars. They found streets that were paved with stones. And when they found this, they said, this can't be because this is underwater. They said, well, maybe it's Atlantis. Well, I don't know what you want to call it, but it just proves one thing, and that is God manipulates the crust of the earth to His pleasure. And we don't know what's going to be. If you think about it, when we come back, we might be on a place that the Lord lets us rule over, because we're coming back as kings and priests, isn't that what Revelation says? That we may rule over a place that never requires fertilizer, because for a few thousand years, that place has been underwater, being fertilized by algae and all sorts of precious minerals that are there on the ground that is then lifted up. And a lot of things that are exciting. God knows what He's doing. For one person, an earthquake may be a terrible thing. For another person, they get excited about it and say, wow, this is great, because the Lord's preparing a place for us even on this earth for 1,000 years. And He is. He is. I want you to see how serious this thing is. Let me read it again. Verse 18. There were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. In Noah's flood, were there men on the face of the earth?
Yes.
So what's this telling you? It's going to be worse than it was at Noah's flood. It's going to be worse. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Look at verse 20. Every island, that literally means coast, every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Well, if you've ever wanted to buy an island and isolate yourself and say, now I can have peace and rest and this is what I want, don't invest in it. Don't invest in it. Because when we come back with the Lord, it ain't going to be there. It isn't going to be there. Okay. We're going to stop there. What the Lord has for us is amazing. And He uses the attitudes, the characteristics of the devil against the devil. And that's a beautiful thing to see. But at the same time, we see changes taking place on the earth that are going to benefit us. The people that are there are going to be scared to death. But for us, When we come back, it's going to be a totally changed earth, and it's going to be great because Jesus is King. Amen. Let's bow in word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for each one that's here. I pray we might be encouraged from your word to look forward, maybe not the things that man plans, but we certainly can look forward to the things that you plan. I pray that each one of us might be concerned about souls that are left behind, empty souls, souls who have no hope without you. Father, help us to reach them now before it's too late. Lord, we pray that you'd bless us this week, use us to glorify your holy name, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.